All right. Amen. That's good to be here tonight. I always say it's an honor and a privilege to preach the Word of God, especially here in Bivesville. I really do. I cherish it, and every time Pastor asks me to preach, I feel very honored. And my wife tells me that, she says, now remember, you have told most of your jokes, so don't repeat yourself. Thank the Lord for a good wife, amen, and a good helpmeet, which reminds me of a joke. God made Adam, put him in the garden. He was lonely, of course, and so God made woman, brought woman to Adam, and he was impressed. Adam said to God, oh, this is wonderful. She's so kind, and she's beautiful. She's so soft, and she smells so nice, and it's just wonderful. Thank you, God. And God said to Adam, said, well, I made her that way, so you would love her. And Adam said, but God, she's kind of flighty, and she's kind of stupid. She's dumb. And God said, well, I made her that way, so she would love you. So that's it. That's my joke for the night. So, so tonight I want to look at Paul's first missionary journey. It's kind of a mission message. This portion of scripture, it's Acts chapter 13, if you want to turn there. Acts chapter 13 is Paul's first missionary journey. It's part of Paul's first missionary journey. And actually, this being missions month, it would be good to have to hear what missionaries are preaching around the world. And I noticed, I went online, I looked at, I don't know if we have all our missionaries online. That's at BibleBaptistChurchCambridge.com. If you want to go there and look at the different missionaries that we have, I noticed that there's at least three. And when I came in today, I looked at this side. I didn't get over there. There's at least three of the missionaries that are in the United States, and I appreciate that. A lot of churches, and there's maybe not a lot, but some churches frown on home missions. They think, well, if you can live in the United States, you can get a job and take care of yourself, and you can preach and go ahead and start a church like that. But I want to ask you a question. Do you think that every person in the United States has heard a clear presentation of the gospel? I don't think so. I think there are plenty of people that just don't hear. You know, we have pushed God out of our schools. There's no longer prayer in schools, in the public schools. We don't even recognize lots of times the Ten Commandments. And I think there's still room for preaching the gospel in the United States, amen, or sending missionaries into this country. I know that in Utah, when we went there, there were over 400 towns in Utah alone that did not have an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing witness in that town. 400. And I think for over the years, the 20-some years that we were there, that number may have come down, but I don't think that it has come down very much at all. We still need missionaries in the United States. And so tonight I want to look at this, and I want to look at Acts chapter number 13. I want to start in verse number 16. Acts chapter 13, verse number 16. And I'm just going to read the part that Paul brings his message. Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. With an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king. And God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. When he had removed him, he raised up unto him David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. When they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in the sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. We declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you be with us tonight. Pray that you have your blessing upon the reading of your word. Guide us and direct us. Bless us, Lord, with your word. Touch the heart of the folk that are here, Lord. Some of them are not saved. Pray that they be saved. Those that are saved, which I believe are probably most that are here, Lord, tonight on a Sunday night, I pray that you'd bless them and, Lord, give them just a rejoicing of the Word of God. And, God, maybe a unction that they can spread the gospel and be a part of this mission program that we have here at Bible Baptist Church. Guide and direct us now in these few moments that we have, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I read an article, a preaching sermon by Kenny McComas, from John chapter 3 and verse 16. I take these sore lords, and I hope you'll take those and read the messages there and there. They don't take you that long to read. And that's my point here for just a moment. It took me 20 minutes and 26 seconds to read a message by Kenny McComas. You know, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 5 through 7, it took me about 13 minutes, 15 seconds to read it. You know, Brother Green, when I was growing up in Lansing, Michigan, every once in a while, he'd have a night where he said, I'm going to have a 5-minute message tonight. And folks would say, oh boy, we're going to get out early. We're going to come and hear the message. The first message I ever preached was to a youth group. It took me 5 minutes to bring it. This message that Paul brought, this first recorded message, took me 3 minutes and 51 seconds to read. Now you say, well, I bet it took him longer than that to preach it. No, I think it took him about 4 minutes. What I want to say this morning, it doesn't matter if you have just a little time and a lot of time. This message that Paul preached, though only brief, holds the power to change all of our lives here today. What does this message reveal? Now, also, while I was online looking at the missionaries, I went in to look at the messages that were there, and I said, oh, here's the guest. So I went in there and found my messages, or the ones I had preached. And I said, what's this title? I don't remember that title. And what's this title? I don't remember. Bill does the best he gives. Kit does, I guess. But if I were to call this in by title, I didn't have a title, but if I was going to have a title, it would be called Paul's Revealing Message. So you can put that down. Paul's Revealing Message. Paul reveals some things. You have to understand, Paul has taken off on a missionary journey, and I want you, we're not going to read all of it, but if you go back and see how Paul left and went into the missions, he was sent by the church there, Jerusalem. He was sent by those folks. And I believe that if he was sent, he was provided for. And that's what we want to do for these missionaries that we support, is to send them something so they can preach the gospel. And this is the message, I believe, that they will preach around the world. The first thing I think this message reveals is that who can come to God? If you'll take a look here in the very first portion, then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. And I think there's two people that here can hear the gospel and get saved. And that's, first of all, the Jews. The gospel came first to the Jews, and if Jesus specifically came for the Jews, teaching the Jews, telling them about salvation, telling them about how to trust Him and be saved eternally. But that did not sit well with all, because there was even those, remember the woman who came and asked the Lord that she might heal her child? And He says, I came for the children of Israel. I can't be feeding the dogs. Do you remember that? And she said, yea, Lord, but even the dogs take of the crumbs. And Jesus was very compassionate on those. So the children of Israel are definitely in the running to get saved. They can be saved. But I want you to notice the second group of people. Then Paul, and he says, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. He says it again in verse number 26. He said, whosoever feareth God. Peter found out in Acts chapter 10 that Cornelius, a Gentile, was a devout man and one that feareth God. Acts 10:35, Peter said that in every nation, he that feareth Him, that's God, is acceptable of Him, of God. If you're in chapter 13, I want you to go to verse 47 and verse 48. We're not going to cover this portion of Scripture, except for what I want to say right here. Verse number 47 says, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation on the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. I've wondered what does that mean, ordained to eternal life? I think they were ordained to eternal life because they were now able to get saved. Those that were ordained, the Gentiles, were now accepted into the fact. Folks, I don't know if you know it or not, but we are all Gentiles here. I don't know if there's any Jews here, but we are Gentiles, and we have the privilege of accepting Jesus Christ to be saved. You are ordained to eternal life, but you must first believe God. And I believe that's what Paul was trying to say here. Those that fear God, you have to fear God. You have to believe Him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. You don't have to turn there, but let me turn there as quickly as I can. But Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. The Bible says this. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You must believe in God. You must trust in him. You must fear God. Respect him. Paul is revealing that whosoever will may come. Now I hope there's not a person here that has not given their life to the Lord. The second thing that Paul reveals, he reveals a risen Savior. Look, if you will, to verse 30 and through verse 31. Our text, chapter number 13, verse number 30. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. We declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. This is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. J. Sidlow Baxter, in his devotional, says of this verse, it is the basic evidential event upon which the Christian faith is built. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we would not be sitting here tonight. You are sitting here tonight on a Sunday, on the first day of the week, the day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, because of this fact. This church is here because of this fact. All of its outreach programs, all of the things that they do, or that we do, everything is here because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I want you also to know that this country that we live in today is free because of the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Do you understand that? We have freedom in this country, and I believe it's the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I don't know if you know it or not, but listen, this country was founded on Christian principles. This country was found on what they call the Judeo-Christian ethics. It is here, and we have freedom because Jesus rose from the dead. Charity around the world exists because of this fact. Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. There is no denying that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest event that this world has ever seen. And that's what Paul wants to reveal around the world. That's what our missionaries have to reveal around the world, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I don't know if you ever read any missionary books. I remember reading a book called Doctor many years ago about a doctor in Bangladesh, when it was called Bangladesh. A very good book. Another book I read was Peace Child. And that one had the man was in Papua New Guinea, who was trying to reach the lost and explain that a man rose from the dead. If you ever have a chance, read it. It's called Peace Child. I believe the author was a man named Richardson. Read it if you can. It will open your eyes to what missionaries are going through throughout the world. Paul's message revealed this risen Savior. I'm so glad that we have the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that he rose from the dead. Amen. Victory over death, the grave, and the hell. Paul's message also reveals the mercies of God. Look at verse number 34. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Oh, that's a blessed saying. The sure mercies of David. If you could, if you would, you could turn over to Isaiah chapter 55. But I'm just going to go ahead and read it. I've got it marked. I'm going to keep on going with this. But Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1 through 3. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come bind wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. The mercies of David. Do you think that David was the only one that could have been chosen to be king? I got to thinking about this. I want you to think about it just for a few moments here tonight. David was made king, and you know, there have been volumes of books written about David. Many sermons, hundreds, thousands of sermons about David and what he did. He's a pivotal figure in the Bible. He is the starting of the kingship. Jesus Christ is going to sit on his throne on David. But I got to thinking, do you think David was the only one that could have been chosen by God? Were there others in Israel that could have been in tune with God's heart? 1 Kings 19, Elijah said, I only am left. But God said, I have 7,000 who have not bowed to the likeness of Baal. In Romans chapter 11, in verse number 3 and 4, listen what it says. Lord, they have killed, and it's referring back to this scripture in 1 Kings 19. Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. I believe God could have chosen someone else besides David. But I think God had mercy upon David. If we would go back to 2 Samuel in chapter number 7, 2 Samuel chapter number 7, verse number 8, says, Now therefore so shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. God told David, God told Samuel to tell David, he said, tell David this, I took you out of the sheep, from watching the sheep and taking care of the sheep. And I made you something. I made you a king. Amen. I was with thee, he said, whithersoever thou wentest. Listen to me, folks. This is what God is telling David. I made thee to be great, he said. It was the mercy of God on display. That's what it was in David's life. There was a Sunday school teacher who asked the class, why did God choose Noah? The kids said, well, he was a just man. Another one said, he was perfect. And another one said, he walked with God. No! It was Noah that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found grace through the mercy of God. Amen. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saves us. I'll tell you what, it is a great thing that God has mercy. The sure mercies of David are the mercies of God. And that's what Paul was revealing to those people, that God will have mercy upon you. We deserve death. We deserve hell. We deserve punishment. But God gives us mercy. Paul's message also reveals how to have our sins forgiven. In verse 38 and 39, he says, Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. I quoted this earlier, but let me do it again. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart that thou mayest, And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You need to believe, to trust, to rely upon. I love teaching the junior church, Brother Braden. I think it's the best thing. I like to tell the boys and girls about Jesus Christ and try to keep their attention. It's a challenge sometimes. And matter of fact, it's a challenge up here sometimes to keep your attention. But I've used illustrations. I've said, here's a chair. And I believe that that would hold me up. I believe with all my heart. But until I actually trust this, it will not hold me up. And I can put my trust in it. It's a good sturdy chair. One time I was at a men's meeting in Parkview Baptist Church in Livonia, Michigan, and Saturday morning, Pastor Hasbrook at that time would have a Bible study. And I'd get there, and I'd sit in those wooden, and it was kind of full, about maybe 15 men there. And I'm sitting in that chair. It's a wooden chair, and I'm rocking back and forth. And it's holding me up pretty good. I think, oh, this is pretty good. Then I made the mistake. I said, I think I'll tip over on one leg. And I tipped over on one leg, and that leg snapped. And down I went. The pastor looked over and said, Skeeter, I think it's the first time I've ever seen you speechless. So, I tell you what, I put my trust in one leg. But listen, you put your trust in Jesus. You understand? You trust Him. You need to believe, to trust, to rely upon. You cannot be saved by works. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. Paul's message reveals the danger of doubt. The fifth thing, Paul's message reveals the danger of doubt. This is a message to the Jews. These verses, look what it says in verse 40. Beware therefore lest that come upon you, which is spoken of the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish for a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declared unto you. There's danger in doubt. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 17 says, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Can you imagine having someone say that to you? They've turned themselves to idols. Let them alone. Those be horrible words to hear. Horrible to hear God tell you that I'm not going to touch, I'm not going to talk to you anymore, I'm not going to convict you anymore. James says, what is your life? It's even vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. I talked to a man up in Kent, Ohio, and Jan's been working up there in Akron, and during the day while she sleeps, I try to get some things done. I go hiking. I go fishing sometimes. Because I know she needs a rest. But I was out there near a lake, and a man come by, and I started talking to him. I tried to talk to him about the Lord. He was friendly and I was friendly. I was talking back and forth to him and tried to tell him about the Lord. I said, I think his name was Charlie. I said, Charlie, do you know the Lord? Has anybody ever told you about Jesus Christ? Oh, yeah. And my wife, she goes to church. And, you know, I tried to talk to him. And, man, every time I tried to talk to him, he was talking about, you know what? Mostly he was complaining about his wife. That's all I could do is complain about his wife. I couldn't get him to focus on the message. And folks, there might come a time where we get to that point where we just cannot focus on what people are trying to tell us. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Listen, Christian today, remember 2 Samuel chapter 7. I want to go there one more time. I want to look at verse I didn't read, verse 14 and 15. You want to write it down if you're taking notes. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee." Amen. I tell you what, David served under the mercy of God. Folks, we serve under the mercy of God. In Hebrews chapter number 12, and verse 5 and 6. Listen, Hebrews chapter 12. "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." You still have mercy. God may punish you sometimes. Amen? We still have the mercy. God told David, "I'll never take my mercy from you as I took it from Saul." We serve by the mercy of God. Don't take it lightly. If you're serving God, continue to serve Him. Paul preached this entire message in 5 minutes. Could we not reach someone in 5 minutes? Could we not take it 5 minutes? Not 5 minutes, not very long, but that's what Paul, he preached this message, this portion of scripture that I've read here tonight. Less than 5 minutes, 4 minutes. And I find it interesting, they came up to him afterwards and said, "Oh, Paul, bring on us a message next time." And the next time, the Bible says, half the town was there. Amen. Matter of fact, they might have said the whole town. They were all there. Why? 5 minute message time. Folks, we can get the message out in 5 minutes. We can tell people. It takes us just a moment to give out a track. Some people try to, I heard somebody say, I don't know if it was for the brain or not, but they said, tell them it's a cartoon or a book. I'm old enough now where I say, here, take this gospel track, and most of them will take it, you know. They're not going to offend an old man. Amen. Just takes a moment. Read this. Just takes a moment to share the Word of God. Are you saved today? Christian today, make sure that you stay in the mercies of God. Make sure you are still serving Him. Have you been born again? If not, trust Him today. You know what? I know of one person who is saved here tonight. I know of one person who's saved, and that's me. I don't know who sits here. I don't know what you're going through, what you've been through. I was saved August 26, 1980. I was a church member. And I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again, because that's my testimony. I was a church member. I was a deacon. I was a bus driver, a Sunday school teacher. And I had never trusted the Lord. I thought I had. I had prayed, "Lord, if I'm not saved," but you see, God didn't say, "If you're lost," He says, "You are lost." And I said, "Lord, I'm lost." I remember where it was. I said, "God, save me." Are you saved today? Have you been born again? Don't delay. Don't doubt. "Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from dead, thou shalt be saved." Listen, folks, this is the message. This is the missionary message. This is what we pay our support to get preachers. Missionaries are just preachers, amen, who are going out and starting a work here and starting a work there. By God's grace, we were able to start a church in Fillmore, Utah, and we helped start a church in Richfield, Utah, just across the way. We had a part in starting two churches. You say, well, that's not very many, but that's what we could do, amen? And that's what we did, and that's what you can do. Do what you can do. Talk to who you can talk to. This is a mission-minded church, and I'm so thankful for it. I'm so thankful that we have a pastor who has the vision to not only support those that go clear across around the world, but those that will go to the neighboring states. that will go to the military and that will take the message wherever we can. Notice the track league. We have a support there. The tracks, over 1 billion tracks they have printed to send around the world. Folks, has God touched your heart? Are you witnessing? Are you telling? Are you saved? Are you thankful for the mercies of God? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes as we close here tonight. As we prepare to give an invitation, Lord, I pray that you be with us. Touch the hearts of these folks. Thank you for their attentiveness tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd convict their hearts, Lord. If there's one here not saved, I pray that you'd save them, Lord. If there's one here that wants to get involved in the mission program, Lord, may they get involved in the mission program. Lord, there's one here that's been under conviction about witnessing more. Let them witness more, Lord. Just give us a burden for lost souls. Pray that you guide and direct us this night, I pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. If anybody here says, Pastor Ayers, or Brother Ayers, excuse me. Brother Ayers, I'm not saved. I've never trusted the Lord. My heart's under conviction tonight. If you say that and want me to pray for you, I'll pray for you. Raise your hand. Brother Ayers, I have not been saved. Lord's convicted my heart tonight. Anybody like that? Just raise your hand. Anybody at all? Lord, I pray that you be with us tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Spirit of God working on people. Guide and direct us now this night, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. What number do we have?